Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello and welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name is Caitlin Durante.
My name is Jamie Loftus.
And And we talk about the representation of women in film.
On our podcast that you're listening to right now.
Mm-hmm. Oof. What do? We use the Bechdel test, yeah, first of all.
That is a metric made by Alison Bechdel, sometimes called the Bechdel-Wallace test, that requires a piece of media have two female-identified characters with names talking to each other about something other than a man for more than two lines of dialogue.
Wow, should we test it out?
Let's do it.
Okay. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Caitlin.
Did you know that I regularly misuse the word whenever?
No.
Because I do, and our fans tell me about it all the time.
Wait, what way are you using it?
I think I use it when I should just be saying the word when, but I say whenever.
Honestly, I think you should get dragged for a free product that anyone can listen to and absolutely don't even need to weigh in. But I think it's very useful.
Yes.
Do you feel bad about yourself?
No.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's perfect.
Thank you so much.
Then the internet's not doing its job if you don't feel like absolute garbage.
That's true. So everyone should, try harder to
step
make
it
me
up.
Upset.
I mean, really roast her.
Just kidding. Please don't.
It passes the Bechdel test.
It does. Cool. So
we're going to get down to damn business. We're talking about representation of women in scary families.
Scary families. Mm-hmm. Specifically, the Addams Family. So today we're covering the film from 91. We have guests.
We sure do.
Multiple, plural. They've both been on the podcast before separately, but they're here together because they are the co-hosts of Nerdificent. Mm-hmm. It's Danny Fernandez and Iffy Wadiway.
Hey.
Yes. Hi.
Welcome Long. Back. Friends?
Foretold crossover. It finally.
Yeah, here it is.
Materialized.
Welcome.
Matching this time, though.
During Spooktober.
Yeah.
What are you guys' history with this franchise? Danny, let's start with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed. I tweet about Morticia and Gomez more than any normal person should. Right. I also have a bunch of artwork of them in my apartment.
Oh, right.
So I have, like, above my bed, I had forever, I moved it, but it was a picture of Gomez, like, swooping. What is a dance move where they're...
Ooh. Dip.
Dip. There. Thank you, Iffy.
That's a beautiful
He's
dip.
Swooping. He's dipping Morticia and has, like, his face, like, in her neck. And I'm like, I don't want any guy in this bed that isn't doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's, like, as
Set
a representation. Uh-huh. And then, like, right when you walk into my place, I have a picture of him, like, kissing her hand. So, yeah, I'm obsessed with them. And that is their goals. They are goals, what I aspire
Relationship
to
goals,
find.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Iffy, what about you?
Yeah, you know, watched Addams Family like everyone else, you know, thought it was good franchise, fun show. The cartoon was fun. I think now my relationship with, you know, the Addams Family is every woman I have a crush on looks like Morticia or like cosplaying Morticia or Wednesday,
sure.
You know, any variation of the two.
Okay.
Just getting into that.
Beautiful. Jamie, what about you?
Time of year. I'm like a longtime fan. We had a book of the comics at my house. I don't know who it belonged to, but like the comics and the illustration style of Charles Addams, I really, really, really loved when I was younger. I think I've only seen this movie one time before, but I remember they used to show like repeats of the TV show on TV Land, mm-hmm. and I was deep into that. Deeply unfunny television show. Loved it. Loved, loved, loved. I love a laugh track. I live for it. But sure. This was my first time seeing the movie in at least a decade, and it was so lovely to revisit.
Yeah.
What's your history with the Addams Family?
Well, this might be a wild thing for me to admit, but I had never seen this movie nor its sequel, Addams Family Values. But like, I'm familiar with all of the characters. Like, I knew about Morticia. I knew about Wednesday. I knew about Cousin It. Like, all the hand. They've infiltrated our cultural zeitgeist.
It is like a cultural osmosis kind of thing.
Yeah. But I was watching and I was like, and I thought I had seen it, but I was like, wait a minute, I've never seen this movie. but it was a delight. And we're focusing on the first one from 91. But, you know, if anyone has any thoughts on the sequel, by all means, share them.
It's so funny because I always forget Gomez is Raul Julia. Because I always remember Raul Julia as M. Bison from the Street Fighter movie.
Wild.
And the fact that that was his last film that he's done in his life, and it's dedicated to him at the end. So, you know, I listened to the credits, and that's all I think of when I was like, no, that was a way better performance as him as Gomez, but for some reason, I just see him.
I mean,
that was Tuesday for me.
I was going to say the original Gomez was also John Astin, who's Sean Astin's dad.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love an acting dynasty. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Scary, makes me mad, but I like it. I'll allow it.
I wanted to point out two things just about values, out of family values, mm-hmm. because we're just focusing on the first one. I do love that both of the movies had a female villain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that. And then Pubert, their son, who's like a tiny Gomez, is actually a girl.
Whoa.
They're two twin girls.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
They put little baby mustaches on.
Yep.
Love. Yeah.
So technically, they pass a Bechdel test just with the...
True.
With their cooing to
each
other.
Yeah.
Know.
I didn't know that. That's you know what? Babies are so androgynous, it turns out.
That's true.
Should I just dive into the recap?
I'm looking up a picture of Pubert, and Pubert's so cute.
I know.
Wow. Gotta see the second one. I also read that the second one is supposed to be like the better movie, but it just didn't make any money.
Well, that's the one. It was funny because going into it, I was thinking I was watching the second, but I was like, oh no, the first one is different. Because I was like, oh wait, this is a fake fester alert. Yeah, the second one was slapped super hard because, the camp scene and mm-hmm. Wednesday appropriating Native American culture was super hot back in the day.
But making a statement about we shouldn't, like colonizers shouldn't have done that to indigenous people.
Right. Yeah. Just like a woke white woman with dreads, you know, I was like, I don't know what to do with you.
Also, like, who are their parents that one of them is Latino and the other is white? You know, I'm like, what is this family? Like, you know, Gomez and then there's Fester. And I'm like, clearly he's adopted.
Someone's adopted.
What is happening here?
Okay.
Latinx icon.
Yes. I'm going to dive into the recap and then we'll go from there.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we meet this kooky, spooky family, the Addams Family. The patriarch, if you will, is Gomez Addams. His wife is Morticia. That's Angelica Houston, of course.
Oh, she's so goodness.
Her mother is Granny, played by Judith Malina, not to be confused with Alfred Molina.
Although he's a chameleon, could have played the role easily.
Could have played literally any character in this film.
He would have actually been a great fake Fester.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
God, absolutely. Damn it.
And then there are two children, Wednesday Addams, Christina Ricci, of course, and Pugsley. There's a detached hand called Thing that lives with them. He's their pet? I'm not sure. Or who knows?
It's unclear.
It's kind of like a butler, and also, to be honest.
Yeah.
But then they also have a butler.
Oh, yeah. Lurch.
Sometimes you need two butlers.
Yeah.
And they all live together in this huge, creepy house, and they love anything that's dark and morbid. So 25 years ago, Gomez lost his brother, Fester, and every year the family has done a seance to try to bring him back. Meanwhile, the Addams family lawyer, Tully Alford, played by Dan Hedaya, and his wife, Margaret, they're financially desperate, and they're trying to figure out a way to get some of the Addams family fortune because they are inexplicably very wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how the story is like, we don't need to explain why.
Yeah.
Well, because none of them have jobs.
And they go out of the way to remind you that none of them have jobs. You're just like, they're just an independently wealthy, scary family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess.
So one of Tully's clients, Mrs. Craven, pays them a visit to collect a debt that Tully owes her. And Mrs. Craven's son, Gordon, Christopher Lloyd, looks a lot like a photo of the long-lost Fester Addams. Mm-hmm. So they decide to have Gordon pretend to be Fester as a way to try to get the Addams money.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Is Mrs. Craven, that's Murder, She Wrote, right?
No, isn't Murder, She Wrote Angela Lansbury?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then,
yeah.
No, that's not her.
Yeah. Was that your runaway runabout way of asking if it was Angela Lansbury?
Yeah.
Love you it. Know, Murder, She Wrote.
Murder, She Wrote. I always forget her name. But now I know it's Angela Lansbury.
There it is. Mrs. Potts.
And when we say Fester is missing, he's like literally missing.
Right.
Like he's not, he's in the Bermuda Triangle, they're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're talking Fester, I do have to take one quick second for us to put some respect on the game where you held the two metal things that would vibrate super hard. And then smoke would come out of his mouth.
At Dave and Buster's?
Yeah, it scared me for so long as a child because I thought it was really electrocuting you. I was like, I don't think I can handle all those volts.
So the family does their annual seance, and Gordon, as Fester, shows up, pretending to have been summoned by the seance, along with Mrs. Craven, who is pretending to be a German psychologist who is, like, helping Fester.
By the way, that's a hat on the hat. She didn't have to do that. She just wanted
right,
to answer.
She just wanted
she's
to,
like, I want to do some sneaking around, too.
She's like, I took an improv class.
It's like, I got to get some use out of this $40 improv manual.
Right, that increases the likelihood of them getting caught by a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. I might even go as far to say the reason they were suspicious was because she was there.
Right.
Like, why is she here? Mm.
She's like, well, I've practiced this German accent for so long, I have to use it.
I'm classically trained.
So then fake Fester settles into the Addams house, but tells the family that he can only stay for a week because he has to get back to the Bermuda Triangle. Wednesday Addams is suspicious of him immediately, but everyone else, especially Gomez, is like delighted to see him. And he asks Fester for forgiveness for betraying him in their past, because there's this whole thing where Gomez wooed these twins, Flora and Fauna, because he was just super jealous of Fester's charm. But Fester can't seem to remember anything from their childhood, like the secret password or the combination to the vault or how to remove this like finger trap thing. So now Gomez suspects this man to be an imposter and gets very upset, and he's crashing his model trains together.
Love the model train. That's like a carryover from the TV series too. He's just a
trains
guy.
Mm-hmm. And also the guy that's in it that looks out and sees him, that's the director.
Oh, Barry Sonnenfeld.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Fun. So fake Fester knows that they are onto him, but he still hasn't found the family fortune. And then his mom, Mrs. Craven, who's pretending to be the doctor, shows up and convinces Gomez that he's experiencing displacement, which is why he's angry and thinks Fester is a fraud. and everyone believes her. So Gomez once again is like, is convinced that Fester, this guy is his real brother.
Oh, Gomez.
Well, how are they so rich for the fact that they can get duped so easily?
Yeah. I know. Right. Duped and unduped just as, oh.
Yeah.
He's, Gomez is just an impressionable guy. He wants to believe the best.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Meanwhile, fake Fester is bonding with the children, Wednesday and Pugsley, and he helps them with their performance at the school play, and everyone is excited about Fester again, and he's starting to feel like part of the Addams family. But his mom is like, I'm your family. You gotta get out of there. Find the money and run. So the family throws Fester this big ball, and the whole Addams clan is invited. Iconic cousin It is there. As Fester is getting ready and talking to his mom about getting into the vault, Wednesday walks in on them and she's like, I knew it, you're a fake. And then he chases after her, but he can't find her. No one can find her. And then he goes to the ball and pretends everything is normal. There's a whole dance sequence.
Oh,
terrific. Great dance.
Mamushka.
That whole party is just so good. And I feel like it takes place in this world. Like, there were a lot of good, scary dances in the 90s in movies. Like, the dance in Casper.
Oh,
like, was another big scary dance set in, an old creaky mansion. Loved it. Loved it.
And then after a while, the family realizes that Wednesday has disappeared. So they go out to find her. And when they come back to the house, their lawyer, Tully, has seized the house and issued a restraining order saying that it now belongs to their oldest living relative, Fester, and that he's still bitter about Gomez's betrayal regarding Flora and Fauna. So now the family is banished from their home and they're despondent. They try to integrate into society. That doesn't work out very well for them. Meanwhile, Fester, now that he has the house to himself, he and his mom and Tully are all trying to break into the vault to get the money, but they can't figure out how. And Fester seems to like miss the Adamses. And we're like, what's going on there? And then Morticia sneaks out and goes back to the house, but Mrs. Craven and Tully tie her up to get the information about how to access the vault. And then Gomez shows up to rescue her, and Fester doesn't want to hurt the Adamses because maybe he is one of them actually. And then his mom is like, I should have left you where I found you. And then we're all like, what? And then Fester's like, you're a terrible mother. And then he unleashes a hurricane on them that lives in a book, which also electrocutes Fester with a bolt of lightning, which restores his memory. And it turns out that Mrs. Craven had kidnapped Fester 25 years ago, but he got amnesia and he didn't remember that he was in fact a member of the Adams.
Wait, I totally forgot this part. I don't know. I was watching it on my plane on the way here, and it's totally skipped over that.
Yeah. So he is by blood or maybe adopted, but he was raised as an Adams.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that ending confirms this total fact, which is Fester can grow hair. He just shaves it off.
Yeah. Right. No.
He just shaves it off.
I didn't even think
it's
about that.
It's a choice to be bald.
Uh-huh.
Which is a bald choice always.
Sure.
I honestly, I forgot the entire what happens in this movie. And I was floored by the twist. I was like, wait, that's it's what we thought at the beginning? I loved it.
I know. It was beautiful.
I loved it. And that means that Gomez's purity of heart is actually the right thing to do because he was right all along.
Yeah, he's actually very intuitive, as it turns out. Yeah,
he knows his brother.
That's true. Let's take a quick break and then we'll come right back.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Ooh, that was kind of a spooky, and we're back.
We're back.
And we're back.
So where do we want to start with this film?
We've got an embarrassment of riches here. There's so many fun female characters.
Should we
just start with Morticia?
Let's do it.
She's great.
I mean, an icon.
She is. Is this weird that I, like... I love that she's both very much in charge, but is also very soft-spoken. I feel like you don't get characters that a lot.
I will say that because I remember watching this and be like, oh, I don't remember her voice being that high-pitched. But I think you watch it, forget, and then you see pictures, and it's like, oh, she must have a deep voice because she commands so much power.
Right.
Angelica
Houston, she actually didn't base it off of the original Morticia. She based it off of Grey Gardens.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's how she came up with how she was acting in the...
Wild.
They kept some of the things. Like, they kept her clipping the roses. Like, that's from the show. Okay. But I think she wanted a different take that was more true to her, like, what she thought she could bring to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a, like, the jokes that she delivers, which are a lot of them, with her performance, it ends up being this, like, deadpan delivery.
Yes.
And it's so funny. And it's so great.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. As far as her character, first of all, she's a horny icon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very sex positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, her and Gomez, like, their relationship is great.
Yeah.
That's why I was watching this. I was like, I'm the right man for the job. You got the horny lord of comedy, Ify Wadiway, here checking in, clocking in.
Is that a nickname you gave yourself?
Yeah, it's one I gave myself.
Just hoping it catches on.
Yeah. Just feel free to, tag me, call me that.
What was it? Horny Lord of comedy. All right.
That's going to be the movie I come out with three other horny comics. The Horny Lords of Comedy.
That's your, national tour.
Yeah. Like, oh, man, did you check out the Horny Lords of Comedy? I mean, Ify's set was good, but D.L. Hughley, kind of weak, not horny enough.
I had tweeted about Gomez. I was like, I want someone like him. And by that, I mean a Latino millionaire that can talk to the dead. Because I was like, that's just so on brand for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
The thing that I love about, I know we're talking about Morticia. The thing I like about Gomez, though, is that he's okay with male affection.
Yes.
Like, I love that. I love, he kisses Fester, which, catches him off guard. But he's very, he cries openly. He worships his wife.
Yep.
Like, I just love all of that. Yeah, but I love that they're super sex positive.
Yeah. He's very emotionally open and vulnerable. Yeah. And by contrast, maybe Morticia to a lesser extent, just because she's like, hey, kids, you should keep trying to kill each other more.
Yeah. It's like, I like that. I feel like that, like, that subverts like a lot of mom tropes that hit on all the time, of just like the mom has to be, I mean, not that Morticia isn't nurturing, she's very supportive of her kids, but like the, you know, emotionally more forward one, where it seems like Gomez is kind of has that role in the family of expressing. I mean, and even like when it seems like Fester isn't his brother after all, or the Fester that they're given isn't, you know, he's like devastated and like openly devastated and doesn't hide it. And I also like that the movie doesn't try to make it seem silly that like a man is expressing his emotions too, because I feel like sometimes when male characters in movies do, it's framed by the movie as like, oh, how embarrassing for them.
Yeah, how pathetic or something like that.
But for Gomez, it's just like a part of the story, and it like it makes sense, and it's so
I love good. That the main women in the family are very level-headed. So like Morticia and Wednesday, you know, like Morticia always keeps her cool even when Gomez is freaking out. And the same with Wednesday. Like she's just so, same thing. She's deadpan. She like definitely wears the pants between her and Pugsley and is always like that's her little guinea pig.
Right.
And by extension, it doesn't seem to bother the men either. They're not like, hey, stop that. Like Pugsley's like, yeah, electrocute me. Like he's he doesn't care. It's fun.
I mean, yeah, I know we're all over the place. We'll get to every character. We'll give them all their due time. But like, just to piggyback off what you were saying, Danny, about the two siblings, Wednesday and Pugsley, like, first of all, Wednesday is the first and kind of only one who's like very immediately suspicious of a very suspicious scenario.
And two imposters.
So I don't know if that's like kind of playing to like the women's intuition trope, or if it's just that she's really smart and observant. That's what I choose to believe is happening.
I think so, yeah.
So yeah, she's super smart and curious and observant. I would say that she's the more developed, more active, and better remembered character than Pugsley.
Oh, for sure.
I like that she's given a like specific academic interest. She like loves the Bermuda Triangle and she studies it.
And she like studies her, like she has an interest in her family when she brings up Calpurnia, right on. So you're like, oh, she's, you know, she's digging it. Like, Wednesday's the coolest.
She also talks way more than Pugsley. She has far more lines of dialogue, which I think is unusual for.
Also, I don't know how old Christina Ricci was, but like, damn, I was watching, like, she was so good. Yeah. She was on par with the adults in the film.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was 11 when this movie came out.
Wow. It's
insane. Yeah, she's, and then she, you know, got like pigeonholed in the scary 90s movies for a while because she was in Casper. And she's also perfect in Casper. Right. Do we want to talk about Wednesday or go back to Morticia, or what should we do?
Oh gosh.
I'm just excited.
I know, it's just so exciting. So yeah, let's return back to Morticia for a moment. My big thing with her as it relates to the narrative is so toward the end, they've been banished from their house, and Morticia is the one who's like, this isn't right. I'm going to go do something about this. So she's the one who like sneaks out, takes the initiative, and goes back to their home in an effort to correct the injustice that's been brought upon them.
This is so annoying. This is
she gets immediately captured and damseled and like tied to a slab. And so she doesn't get to accomplish anything, which is very frustrating.
Which does, and that, that's like a shitty tropey thing. The only good thing about that is that they get kinky about the slab.
That's true.
Which is fun.
Well, because Gomez has to come in and rescue her.
And then they get horny in regards to the slab.
That's true.
Yeah.
They could have capitalized on that opportunity to like have her go try to do something and then accomplish something. And maybe like whether or not she's completely successful, whatever. But the fact that she doesn't even get to do anything because she's immediately captured and then has to be rescued, that was
she also got a job and Gomez didn't, right?
Yes. Gomez was like sitting around watching TV.
Yeah, he was super depressed.
And then she went out and
became
a teacher.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a great scene too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sure what to make of her getting a job and Gomez not. I feel like it sort of made sense for the story. Like, it was like, it seemed like he was suffering depression and she was like, well, I need to go make money because our financial situation is intentionally obscured to serve the plot.
Right.
And I don't know. Yeah, I that didn't super bother me. And I also think it's like, especially in the early 90s, like the mom being the breadwinner is actually kind of like a little bit subversive.
Yeah, and then we also get to see like the interview process where the interviewee is like, oh, so you've been a homemaker and you're trying to reenter the workforce. That's actually pretty normal right now. Where'd you go to college? And then she's like, tutors. What was your major? Spells and hexes. And she's like, we'll say liberal arts. And I was like, oh, the comedy in this movie. So funny. But yeah, I actually liked that, like, we see her be the one to, like, go out and get a job and try to support the family.
She's very often the one to find the solution for a problem. And it's just like, I don't know, her and Gomez have such like a functional good relationship where when there's a problem, they split up the responsibilities and one of them solves the problem. It's pretty easy. Like when Wednesday goes missing in that weird sequence where she ends up sleeping on a grave and then they're like, well, anyways, next scene. Gomez solves that one. What was that? Does anyone know why that happened?
She runs away to escape Fester because she got caught finding out that Fester is an imposter.
Again.
She had suspected it, but then this is her confirming it because she walks in on the Gordon makeup and Mummy. Process. Right. Yeah. The shaving of the head.
Yes.
The
dead giveaway.
And then so she runs away to avoid like being hunted down by them.
Right.
Yeah, that's how that happened. But yeah, I mean, similar to Wednesday being suspicious about Fester, you see Morticia being eventually suspicious as well. Like you can just sense that she's not quite as on board as Gomez is, because Gomez has like been blinded by the excitement of Fester returning, and he like cannot look at anything rationally. But Morticia's like, I'm happy that he's home, but also this is a bit sus.
Well, yeah. She takes him out to the graveyard and like warns him of like, hey, just so you know, if you fuck with us, you'll be in one of these graves. And then like you're just like, oh, okay. So she's a little suspicious.
But, yeah.
Like, you know, she like gives him a stern. She's like, Christopher Lloyd, don't fuck with my
but
family.
But also, this is the most, I love this family. They're the most confusing because it's clear that they want to die, but yet they, you know what I mean? It's like, don't fuck with us. But then it was like cyanide, like we'd run out, you know? And it's just like, you know, they clearly, I kept running into that with the Addams Family values because they were upset. They kept trying to kill the kid, even though they wanted their kids to try and kill each other. I'm like, this is so... And they like had a background process for the nanny, and I'm just like, why don't you want? Oh, they're very confusing.
Sure. Maybe it's family rules where it's like we can kill each other, but strangers can't.
I'd buy that. I like it. I like that there's so many rules of the Addams Family universe that just are blatantly unexplained to the point where it didn't even occur to me to question them, because it's just like canon, like. We don't know why no one else is scary. And it's also, I'm like, how old are they? We don't know. Mm-hmm. It seems like they might be immortal, but then also...
Could be.
We don't know.
Hard to say.
Yeah, the wife. Oh, I forgot her name. Tully's wife.
Oh, I think her name
Abigail,
is...
Abigail, right?
I love
Margaret.
That he doesn't respect her, so she left his ass.
Yeah.
You know? Also, short guys do win. Look, I date short guys. She went for a guy shorter than her. So.
Cousin It.
Yeah, Cousin It, because he treated her well. See, that's what we want.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Cousin also, It's very respectful.
We don't know what happens when he flips that hair up. He can be like shredded.
He's straight. He's all dick.
That's what he is. He's just all dick.
See, here's what I
dick covered in hair.
I choose to believe that even though he pronouns are used for Cousin It, and I also think he pronouns are used for thing, the hand. I think that they are both genderless, non-binary icons.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just my headcanon.
I had one more thing on Morticia before we moved on from her. Was I liked that scene where she goes to Wednesday school. This is when we find out where that Wednesday has made like a school project about her great aunt Calpurnia, who was burned as a witch in 1706. Mm-hmm. They said she danced naked in the town square and enslaved the minister. But I like that they're in this space where Morticia is being set up by the teacher to like be worried about her daughter and like call her weird and say like, oh, something is wrong.
Yeah.
And Morticia just, I don't know, it's weird because it is, she does know what's happening, but she just totally steamrolls it very calmly. And she's just like, oh, yeah, isn't that the coolest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life? My daughter is so great. And right. then the teacher is just like, ugh! Like the teacher's just Pokemon stunned. They move on. Like she has a lot of moments like that where, you know, she knows what's going on, but she's like not even going to get into an argument about it. And she's so like cool and collected that no one ever challenges her. It's mm-hmm. It's aspirational.
Morticia is so great.
She's great.
The movie, though, both this and its sequel, the stories are focused, I would say, largely on the relationship between Fester and Gomez. Mm-hmm. So even though we have these great female characters, the narrative is focused on like the patriarch of the family and then his brother. You know, that I found especially, maybe, sure, that's the first movie. Sequel could have been about something more focused on Morticia, which actually they hire a nanny because Morticia is like, I would like to pursue some interests outside of the home. And we're like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. cool. But then she never does anything.
No.
Yeah. So that was the big frustration for me for Adam's Family Values. But yeah, both movies are about, like, they're focusing on these male relationships. So the female characters end up being more supporting roles rather than, you know, the heroes of the story, you know, and it's an ensemble cast, but yeah. The focus is still on men and male relationships.
Which is kind of funny because I think, like, the iconic characters from this franchise are two female characters.
Morticia and Wednesday.
Yeah. So, like, in spite of the way that these movies are written, it's still, like, cream rises to the top. Although I love Gomez so much, too. Pugsley can kind of, I don't give a fuck.
Right. He's like the least cosplayed character.
Right.
I do think that it's weird that it's the same, like, story. I almost feel like the studio, because it's about Fester essentially listening to a woman who takes him away from his family. Mm-hmm. That's like both stories.
Right.
Like I just found, because I watched them back to back the other night and I was like, this is like the same thing. He's listening to a woman that wants to take him away from his family. Like it's just fascinating to me, like being on the other side of it now, that the studio wouldn't be like, hey, so maybe let's change this more.
Right. But they're like, worked the first time. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Don't fix that thing.
And it is cool that like you have parody between men and women as far as like there are female villains in both movies and then like also in the first movie like Tully ends up being irredeemable but then also like Fester who is in on the scheme in the first place because he doesn't know that he's actually an Adams he ends up being redeemable so it's like there's a nice balance there like I always like to see a female villain assuming they're handled responsibly
which is when I think mostly it is it's like she's a good female like because you're always worrying like oh is this going to be a female villain that is like relegated to only using her sexuality as a weapon or like what but Abigail is a goofy villain
right
major goof vibes and then there's also that bizarre like that sexual tension between her and Fester that you're like there are all those scenes where she's getting real close and she's like you know tell
I mean she's
mommy,
shaving his head
she's shaving him she's shaving him down to you know his skin and being like tell mommy you love her
oh true
yeah scary
there's also I mean this is maybe a stretch but I feel like there's the light suggestion that the villain who is a woman in the first movie is so baby crazy that she will kidnap an adult man and raise him as her son so
yeah I did pick up on that as well.
I was like okay but it is very funny to me that Fester would have been an adult when she found him and then she's like but I'm your mommy now going back a little bit to Gomez and how he is this really sensitive father I think by that same token one of the things that endears us to Fester is that he takes an interest in the children in like this very nurturing role.
Yeah.
Because nurturing relationships like that with children are usually relegated to female characters. So the fact that it's we get to see this random uncle who's been gone for 25 years who would have never met those children was like, yeah, but you're nice and I like you and let's I'm going to teach you about scabs, which, by the way, Jamie.
I know. It's a topic of interest. Does, you know, it's getting to be Halloween, and we have to reevaluate once again. Does Beetlejuice come wet scabs or dry scabs?
Dry scabs or thoughts? No scabs?
Thoughts? No, we don't.
We're so sorry to bring
you. We don't
you
talk about no scabs. It's definitely scabs.
So you're so sure that Beetlejuice comes scabs?
Yes. How do you talk about this mathematically? Based on the assumption, which we've deduced to be mostly true, that Beetlejuice comes scabs, do you think that Beetlejuice would come wet scabs? Think like a laser jet printer printing a lot of full color photos, or dry scabs, which would be like a deck of tarot cards being shuffled.
Do you remember the commercial in the 90s for creepy crawlers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think he comes. Like the, those jelly little crawly spiders that you could like bake in the boys' equivalent of an easy bake oven or whatever they had.
So you're saying wet but also hot?
No, they were like gummies.
Like a gummy.
It was a gummy.
Oh.
So you put it in the
scabs
thing.
Are out of the equation.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He comes creepy crawlers. See how there's
that's,
boys
that's
on the
unfortunately
cover,
not
though?
Canon,
Do
Danny?
You see that there's boys though when clearly I owned one of these?
Yep. Yeah.
See, wow. I do want to quote my algebra teacher and say show your work, because I need to know how we got to the scabs.
First of all, look at the man. He's covered in scabs. He's
that is true.
Covered in scabs. That's we have no reason to believe that he wouldn't come scabs.
I'm more
we can believe
he comes pus.
Comes
okay.
Pus.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. You
That's,
guys, this is
guys,
not canon.
Really, thanks for playing, oh, okay. Everyone. But
wow.
Try again next year. He definitely comes scabs.
All right. When we have the writer of Beetlejuice on Nerdificent and we
ask all our loyal listeners who send in their pictures every year with their Team Dry Scabs and Team Wet Scabs t-shirts. It's a whole
pus. Team Pus, rise up.
But the
no shirts up. For you. No shirts for
don't
you.
Be afraid. Don't be afraid to. Compass.
The scab. There's a book about scabs in this movie.
There
and
is.
Flipping through it, and it's
oh,
one
yeah.
of the ways that Fester bonds with his niece and nephew.
Have you ever smelled your scabs before?
Oh my god.
Okay.
When I was a kid, I used to think they smelled so good. My
ew.
Scabs.
Oh, what did it smell? Gross.
We gotta take a break.
Please.
But we'll come right back.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're going to...
But so, what did the scab smell like?
Oh, no, we cannot. I refuse. I'm going to cut this out.
Leave it in! This is important Halloween discourse.
One of the last things I wanted to bring up is... So, and Danny, you touched on this a bit as well, but Gomez, the character, and the actor who plays him, Raul Julia, are Latinx. Mm-hmm. There's an article in Teen Vogue by writer Ella Cerrone entitled "The Addams Family's Gomez Addams Was My First Glimpse of Latinx Representation." And I just have a few quotes that I'd like to read from that. There was Gomez Addams. He was the first time I ever saw my own dad reflected back to me on a big screen. The prevalence of solid Latinx fathers in pop culture is meager now. For every Jane the Virgin storyline, there are also many more stereotypes floating around, feeding into the narrative of machismo and patriarchy that so many of us are trying now to course correct. In 1991, when the first Addams Family movie first debuted, appropriate representation was rarer still. No, Gomez was not a realistic father per se. The family pet was a disembodied hand, but he was a devoted one. The fact, and here's another quote from the same article, the fact that Gomez was played by a Latinx actor was not lost on me either. Julia accentuated his Puerto Rican accent and speech patterns in order to heighten the character's theatricality. With all due respect to John Astin and Tim Curry, who have also played the character, all other interpretations of Gomez were aberrations in my mind. I understood Gomez to be Latinx, like my dad, because that is what I knew. And he still is now that Oscar Isaac is voicing him in the new animated movie, yeah. Which is why we are covering this Addams Family right now, because of the new animated movie mm-hmm. that's coming out. So I thought that was worth mentioning because of the little and not good representation generally of Latinx characters in media.
I love the fact that they did keep Oscar Isaac, and I think, I can't predict the future, but I think that he will stay. Not Oscar. I wish that they had a live action of him.
Me
to
too.
Be honest.
I kind of wish this weren't a cartoon.
But I think Gomez will stay Latinx, like for the next decade at least. I mean, his name is Gomez,
yes.
Right?
But in my mind, I'm like, so is Wednesday Latina? Possibly. I don't know. We're gonna claim her.
That's great.
Chloe Grace Moretz is out.
Right, because she's who voices Wednesday. No, in...
Rewrite it.
Yes.
Instead of Wednesday, she's Miércoles now.
Nice.
That whole time trying to do that joke, I was remembering the song I learned in Spanish class of the days of the week. It was lunes, martes, miércoles, viernes.
Lunes, martes, martes, miércoles. Yeah, you know, that's the song.
See, mine was lunes, martes, miércoles, viernes. The fourth one. Sábado, domingo, the days of the week. Wow, I can't believe I forget Friday.
What? No, you said Friday.
Really?
Viernes.
Oh, so what's Thursday?
Oh, yeah. I've straight
Jueves.
Up
Jueves.
Oh, that's why I'd like let it. Miércoles, jueves, viernes, sábado, domingo, the days of the week.
Beautiful. Wow.
Someone's probably like cramming for their Spanish final, and then they're listening to this. They're like, oh my gosh, y'all saved me.
You're welcome, everybody.
Senora Martinez, can I listen to podcasts while I take this test? Okay, whatever it takes.
We have so many seventh graders taking intro to Spanish as our listeners.
That's really our main market at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the last things I wanted to say was I think it's very cool to see female characters like Morticia and Wednesday being interested in like dark, morbid things, because most movies are showing women and girls being interested in things that are like very traditionally feminine, which is great. But the fact that we only see that, and the fact that that's like a societal expectation, you know, it's whatever. But you know, I just like to see Morticia and Wednesday. They like love death.
Yeah. Well, I that was something I wanted to bring up as well, just because I was trying to research how the adaptations have differed. And it seems like this is the adaptation that really like did the most right. And actually, as we see on this podcast all the time, where like adaptations are done lazily or poorly or and do a disservice to their female characters, this actually does a pretty cool job of reversing some of the more tropey female roles that are present in the TV series, mm-hmm. Where Morticia doesn't really have the same presence and parody in the household as she does in this movie. And also because Wednesday is like very morbid and I think very similar to the Christina Ricci character in the original cartoons, but in the TV series she was kind of like femmed up a little bit. They make her more girly, they make her more cutesy, and they kind of strip her of those really dark like interests that Christina Ricci's character has. So I thought that that was like a cool positive thing that this movie did, was like, first of all, stay loyal to its source material in a way that like really served it, and also just like let the female characters be like dark and fucked up and cool and not have it be this, you know, point of contention for the story.
This was also a time in the 90s when like Riot Girl culture was coming up. And so I think like having women like rebelling, being into more darker things and like grunge and I imagine that influenced part of this.
The Cranberries.
That too.
Cranberries culture is on the rise in 91.
1,000%.
And this movie is also co-written by a female writer, who Caroline Thompson is co-written with Larry Wilson. But Caroline Thompson has a pretty like crazy screenwriting record for like this era of movies specifically. She was in the spooky movie genre.
Oh, yes.
She co-wrote Edward Scissorhands. Yep. She co-wrote The Addams Family. She co-wrote The Secret Garden, Nightmare Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, like, and the twist, Welcome to Marwen. Welcome to Marwen fits into her canon.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't it always so crazy that whenever there's a good representation of women in film, there's usually a woman who co-wrote it? It's almost like...
Really? Makes you think.
Wonder what that's all
My
about.
My favorite thing in Addams Family Values is when she's like, Debbie, you enslaved Fester. You took him away from us. And that I can forgive, but pastels. And she like kicks her out. Like, that's my favorite part. She's so... Okay, another thing, she's an icon for her meme of her sipping tea. I've seen so many people use that on Twitter, the Morticia sipping the tea. Love it.
That's the way to really establish a legacy, is to have a good like gif of you sipping tea. Because that means you'll never truly die. Ever.
Does anyone have any other final thoughts about the film?
I want to see a, I forgot, is it Melissa? Somebody did a Grown Up Wednesday Addams, but I really wish.
That was
Melissa Hunter, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want that. I want to see her, what her life is like now.
Oh, like a spinoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should.
Let's write it all together.
Really iconic.
Hell yeah. Does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Yeah.
It does.
It sure does.
Yay.
There are a few different combinations. Morticia talks to Granny, her mother. She talks to Margaret about the finger trap and the charity auction. She talks to Wednesday. She talks to Wednesday's teacher, as we mentioned, who is given a name, Susan Perkins. They talk about Wednesday. A lot of the conversations between female characters are about, like, Fester, if he is an imposter, or they're talking about their dad, or, you know, something like that. But there are a few exchanges that definitely pass,
Yeah, it's like it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, it's not as much as it should. And I wish, I genuinely wish that you had gotten a little more between Morticia and Wednesday specifically, because you see moments where they're supporting each other and having each other's back, but you don't actually get to see that just the two of them together really much at all. So I wish that there was more of that. But that said, I mean, for 91, this movie like really holds up, I thought.
Yeah, they're. I mean, the 90s were so ripe with so much problematic stuff, and especially comedies, which were so about punching down to marginalized people. So the fact that this movie doesn't subscribe to that, the most regressive thing probably is Morticia getting damseled and having to be rescued by her husband. But other than that, like,
It pretty much, and it subverts a lot without making a big show of it. Like, it just, I don't know. It's a fun movie.
It is. And queer icon cousin It. Yes. I'll say it.
And The Thing as well, while we're at it. Yes. I loved it when The Thing was tapping stuff out in Morse code. I was like, man, The Thing's working overtime this week. Love it.
Oh, goodness. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples based on its representation of women. Yeah. I would say because there's the same number of major female characters as there are male characters, that's pretty rare. The fact that we do see a lot of subversions of tropes, we have these great iconic female characters, and yet the story isn't really about them. It's more focused on the male characters and their relationships, you know. So I think it's only like maybe a 2.5. It's like kind of right. I hate to give a nipple score that's like right down the middle. Mm-hmm. But that's what I've decided to do here today. Mm-hmm. So I will give 1 nip to Morticia, 1 to Wednesday, and I will give my half nipple to Cousin It.
Cool.
The end.
I'm going to do 3.5. I'm going to, I was very psyched to, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm probably like also a little bit like, you never expect a movie from 1991 to like really mm-hmm. hold up and not feel and like be like, I'm going to watch this and never feel bad about it. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
But I think it is like a pretty impressive feat that, I mean, the two best remembered characters and I think the two best loved characters from this franchise are two women who are, while, you know, like underwritten in some respects, are for the most part, I mean, they have command of, for Morticia, it's her family and of her marriage as mm-hmm. well. And she's very much an equal in every way and also seems to kind of be in charge in a lot of ways. Wednesday is super smart, also supported by her family and how smart and like fucked up and weird she is mm-hmm. in all respects.
Yeah, I gave it too low. Why did I do 2.5? What am I thinking?
I don't know. Let me persuade you. And I also think that like the male characters in this movie are really well written. Like it's, you know, if you're looking for an example of what a great father is, I think you can't do better than Gomez Adams. He's, sure, he's a little gullible if you say you're his dead brother, but then it turns out you're his dead brother.
It's true. Yeah, there's like no toxic masculinity in this movie, really.
They're kind of true. And like Pugsley, I mean, he is very fine with being electrocuted by his sister. He isn't. I feel like little boy, like young boy characters are kind of often made out to be emasculated by their sisters or female classmates or whatever it may mm-hmm. be. And Pugsley and Wednesday are, again, I think kind of similar to Morticia and Gomez, where they're equals and the woman's kind of doing a little more in a lot of cases. And
for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's great. Female villain, I got 3.5. I almost want to say 4.
Wow.
3.5 nips. I'm going to give 1 to Wednesday, 1 to Morticia, 1 to Gomez, and 1/2 to The Thing.
Hell yeah. I'm going to switch mine to 3.5 also. I made a mistake earlier. Wow. I know. Wow. I'll admit it. Wow. This is my first mistake, but here it is. So whoever's, you know, keeping track of our Wikipedia page and
let the recording show. The
nip. 3.5, and I'll give my extra nipple to Granny, because I think we could have seen a little bit more of her. Yeah. You know, older women representation, it's there, but it's not that strong. So I want Granny to be a bigger part of the narrative next time.
Love it.
Yeah, 3.5 for me too. You know, I thought it was great. Like I said, there could have been like a stronger plot line for the women featured in the film. You know, there's like that light, naggy womanness to the bad female characters. But you know, I think it's in the way where it's like, you know, fat and salt, use sparingly. So, you know, not too bad.
Sure.
I rocked it. Love Morticia. Love Wednesday. But yeah, I guess 1 nipple to Wednesday, 2 to Morticia, and 1/2 to Cousin It too. You know, since everyone's doing it, I'll give
it. Maybe Cousin It's just one big nipple under there. Wow. I don't know. Who knows?
Part of the thrill is the mystery of it all.
True.
It really is.
True. It's true. And they had their baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
What? Their baby what?
Right.
I'm actually going to give this 4. I'm probably biased, but I feel like these women affected so much of my life and my personality. So much of my brand is them. I love Wednesday just because she is the smartest person in the family. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave that to a little girl.
Yep.
She's like the Shuri of her family. Like, she's great at science. She's super into STEM.
Yeah.
You know, she experiments. She knows chemicals really well. She knows how to push it just far enough that she doesn't actually kill her brother, but clearly could. She could probably kill everyone in her family if she wanted to.
Yeah, for sure.
She uses bigger words than me, so I respect that. And yeah, I like Morticia. I like that they kept her. Like, there's a way about her sexuality that doesn't feel like it's a joke or doesn't feel like she's, you know, I love Jessica Rabbit, but, like, she doesn't feel like that, you know? Like, she feels so
much. I mean,
that character's
so heavily sexualized and objectified, whereas Morticia.
Yeah, yeah. She's heavily sexualized, but, like, in a consensual way with the man that she's in love with.
Yeah.
And what I love about that is when a lot of guys are like, my queen, you know, or whatever on Twitter, like, he actually treats her like a queen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, he. In the second movie, like you were saying, he was like, something is wrong. I want you to feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after she had her baby. Yeah, I love, like, he was like, I would die for her. And, like, the way he says it, you're like, oh, he would literally die for her.
He goes down on her for
yes.
45
hours.
Minutes a day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She's coming every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I love that. And yeah, so I'm giving it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Two of mine. Actually, I'm going to give, wait, how many? I can't do math. I'm going to give 2 to Wednesday, 1 to Morticia, and 1 to, is it Margaret? For leaving her husband.
Oh, yeah.
For being a woman who realized that she deserved better.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Leaving her husband for someone that would actually take care of her and mm-hmm. being happy.
Hell yeah.
And it's a queer relationship because Cousin It is a queer icon.
There you go.
Anyway.
On board.
Well, thank you to the both of you so much for being here. What would you like to plug as individuals, as a podcast, you name it, anything?
You got it.
I think Nerdificent. You know, listen, we're talking about a bunch of nerdy stuff. If you like hearing nerds talk about nerd stuff, listen to that. It's super fun. Danny's a treat. I'm there too.
Horny Lord of Comedy.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, look out for the Horny Lords of Comedy tour coming in 2020. Just getting that lineup together.
Sure. But yeah, we really like to tackle, I think when Iffy and I started it, we were two people that I feel like got left out of the conversation a lot as far as representation in mm-hmm. nerd fandoms and stuff. And I feel like there's so much gatekeeping that now we get to talk about some of our favorite topics with people that are making them. You know, mm-hmm. we talk with directors, we talk with showrunners, we talk with voice actors. And it's just really cool that we're kind of like taking the fandom back.
Yeah.
So if you're into that, and also it's a fun, you know, comedy based educational thing. So like if you don't know a lot about Star Trek or you don't know a lot about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you can listen to funny people talk about it.
It's a guilt free zone. I've like stepped into fandoms I knew jack shit about, and I was like, I don't feel bad about myself.
Yay! Yes, please listen to Nerdificent. Thanks again for being here. Any individual socials you want to plug or anything?
I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez.
Yeah, me. I'm Iffy Whiteyway on Twitter and Instagram. IffD's on Twitch if you like to watch people play video games. And
hell yeah.
Right on.
Hells to the yes.
Yay. And you can follow us on all the social medias at BechdelCast.
Mm-hmm.
We are on Patreon, aka Matreon. It's $5 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes every month. Mm-hmm. And it's patreon.com/BechdelCast.
You can go to tpublic.com/TheBechdelCast if you want to get those dry scabs, wet scabs shirts. It's time for Halloween.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah, baby.
And Feminist Icon Beetlejuice. We actually have a lot of Halloween merch.
It's true.
And till next time, we never did the theme song.
Oh, yeah. There's some
creepy and the kooky all together spooky. Something,
kooky.
The Addams Family.
Oh, I clapped. Boo. What am I doing?
Wow. Okay, Caitlin's canceled. Okay. We have to go.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax and unwind tonight with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy work week flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.